Welcome to Higher Ground Ministries, where we believe God's Word still speaks today. Our mission is to teach the truth of God's Word from generation to generation, building up believers and reaching hearts with the hope of Christ. Each week, we share messages from our church services, praying they strengthen your faith and encourage your heart. Join us in person or online Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. For more information, visit hgministries.org.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. He's a miracle-working God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. And he did say, the former. There's nothing wrong with the former. The former was powerful. Seas were split over the former. Fires were quenched over the former. Lions' mouths were shut and sealed over the former. But he said the latter was going to be greater. Not greater in quality, but quantity, because there's more of us. Amen. And the more people start to see what God is doing, how he's doing. Listen, it's not my message for today because we're going to deal with Father's Day today, but this is part of coming to church. You come to church and you see. You can see it firsthand, the testimonies of what God is doing. Amen. Because out there we live in the day where AI is, nobody knows what's real anymore. But on this side of the camera, you can't deny what God's doing in here. Amen. If you're sitting in here, you can't say, well, that's fake and phony. That's AI. No, that's not AI. That's Bernie. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Guys, you can be seated for just a quick moment. It is Father's Day, and what we like to do around here is we like to honor the dads and the fathers and just take a few moments and just, just happy Father's Day. And as far as our family goes, we like to just, again, shake a hand and just love on you for a few moments because today, the season we live in, everything's harder today. You need God's anointing more now than ever before. Amen. And what I like to do and what I do is, the we always get a pen that we present to the dads and just say happy Father's Day. And what I've been doing is I put the title of the message on there, what we're going to be preaching and teaching on for that service, for a couple of reasons. One, because usually what happens if you're in my house, if I get a pen, it disappears. I know where to find it. Did I hit Dan?
No.
Did I scare Dan?
No, he's like you. He didn't
play. No, my pens disappear. Now, it used to be my wife taking it. Now I have another. So my wife or daughter steals the pen. I mean, they don't steal. What's mine is hers, and what's hers is hers. So it's, it's hers. But I put the title on it for a reason. One, that you remember, dads, if you're writing with it, you can look at it and say, this is what Pastor preached on. This is what God was speaking to us about.
Right.
Did Dan just steal my pen? And then two, same thing with our kids. If they see the pen, or if wives are using the pen, that you start speaking that over your fathers, or your dads, your husbands, that you start speaking. And of course, today, if I didn't already say it, the message for the service today is man of God. That every time you write with this pen, every time you look at this pen, whether it's dads, you writing with it, or moms, wives, children, that you're speaking this, you're praying this over. No, my dad, my husband, my father, he is a man of God. Amen.
Yes.
He is a man of God. And that's what we're going to deal with this morning in a few moments. But before we do that, we just want to honor the dads in the house. Amen. And of course, what we like to do also is it's not elevating one person over another, but sometimes, with these moments, Mother's Day, Father's Day, we take a moment because as our church is growing and we got new families coming in, they don't know who the pastor's family is. They don't know who's connected to the pastor or who's in the church. So we like to take these moments just briefly to, one, honor those dads, those people in our family, so new people can say, oh, that's pastor's family, as well as honoring those dads. And then also this morning, I want to honor a couple of elders in the house as well. Amen. So my girls are going to help us right now. And, the first person that we want to honor this morning and just say happy Father's Day to is Doug Peterson. And for those Our church family, you know this, but those newer to our family and newer to our church, Doug may not be a natural dad, but there is no doubt about it, no question about it. He has become a Doug, just come up here. He has become a grandfather to my daughters, and he has filled the voids because both of our dads aren't here. They're in heaven right now, and Doug has filled that void, and man, he is a grandfather. There is no question about it. Don't judge me on what I'm about to say. If we were carnal and natural, this would be the grandfather who would get our kids into trouble. Thank God he's sanctified and walking with God. Amen. Give Doug a... Doug, happy Father's Day. Thank you for being such a blessing to our family. Amen. The second person, because he is family with us, he's newer to our family. He moved all the way up here from this strange foreign land called Kentucky. He left everything to come up here because he was chasing the blonde that's sitting over there, and we are so blessed to have him part of our family. He is a dad, and now he's become an uncle, and just he's filling all these different roles, but he is part of our family, and that's Justin Klockow, and just Klockow. I will finally get it when the rapture happens. So happy Father's Day, my brother. And for the record, he's not my brother. It has been mistaken that people think he's my brother. He's not. But he has definitely become a brother. So we're honored to have you part of our family. And happy Father's Day, Justin. He left Kentucky to come up here. Though your wife won't give you any Big Macs, I'll get you a Big Mac when we leave here today. All right? So that's my family that's here. But I want to also honor a couple of the elders that are here. One is with us this morning, and the other one, I believe, is streaming with us this morning. But, Sonny, we just want to honor you as one of the dads of the house, one of the true elders of the house. And, Sonny, you are such a blessing to us, and we're honored. We're honored to have you as part of this family, and I can't begin to express how honored I am to be your pastor. I love you, sir. I know that. I love you, sir. Happy Father's Day. And the other gentleman, just you can stay standing for just a moment. The other gentleman who is not here right now, but he's in recovery mode right now, and that's our brother, our a father of the house. We grew up with his daughters, but that's Mo Arsenal. So if you're streaming with us this morning, Mo, happy Father's Day. Amy. Give these to Dad. He is streaming. All right. Well, that is true. So, first of all, Mo, happy Father's Day. We're standing with you, and in Jesus' name, this recovery is coming quickly. Amen. Amen. Now, my wife did mention, and we like to have fun here, too. If there was a competition for the number of children that one man could help produce... And never mind that, he's got to take care of them and raise them. I think we do need to honor a Mr. Mucci sitting in the back. I was just going to say, we're not handing out the number of pens per child. Happy Father's Day. Pray for him, because he definitely needs God's anointing for that fleet of kids that he has. Amen. So again, family is, you know, for some of those newer people, because they just don't know who's connected to the pastor and a couple of our elders. We're honored. And of course, if you're ever looking towards somebody to be an example, somebody to be, who can I model and follow? Sonny, Mo, they are definitely among them. True elders of the house of God, dads, and man, do they walk with God. Amen. So dads, if you'd like, we'd love to just say Happy Father's Day to you personally and just honor you and give you a pen as well as just shake your hand. And if you'd like to do that, would you guys all just kind of, dads, just line up and come down here so we can just say Happy Father's Day personally to you. Amen. 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 Do you have something to play?
Yes.
All right. Come on, guys. Dads. Proud of you.
Thank you.
Sir, Happy Father's Day. Bless you. Sir, Happy Father's Day. Sorry, trying to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I know we got a bunch of dads who aren't here this morning, and if you're here and your dad's usually here and not here, and if you'd like a pen, just come up and grab one right now and bring it. Not you. Go sit. You can't send it to heaven. And I'm pretty sure he doesn't want it. All right. Girls, if you just, or, yeah, his hands are full, so you take the bucket over there. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, let's give all the dads a good hand clap in the house. Happy Father's Day. And in Jesus' name, may his anointing be on you stronger than ever before. To be a dad, a grandfather, an uncle in the day that we live in, because we need his anointing now more than ever before. And if we're here, that means his anointing is readily available for us. And may we just tap into that and have everything that God has for us. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Did you want to do these? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen. We have a birthday this week that we want to announce and celebrate with. Maliani, is she still down here? There she is. Happy birthday, sweet girl. Yesterday.
Happy birthday.
Yesterday was Judah James Twing's birthday. And this week we have two anniversaries. This Tuesday, you and me have been married for 26 years.
Yep.
He's like, it's this Tuesday? Just kidding. And then.
And she won't be here.
I won't be here, but. It's all right. We can celebrate every day. And then also this week, we're celebrating Steve and Bonnie Thompson's anniversary.
Awesome.
Amen.
Happy anniversary,
happy
guys.
Anniversary. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Did you bring a Bible this morning?
Yes.
Excellent. Open up to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. Amen. Yep. Kids, you guys were all dismissed. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 5, I've already given you the title of this message. It's called Man of God. And just because the title is Man of God doesn't mean that the rest of you sitting here, it doesn't apply to you.
Right.
Amen. But we are going to deal with dad specifically this morning. But again, you know, and I say this every Father's Day, just because you may not be the dad, the father, you may be the child, the wife, but these are things that you speak over.
Yes.
These are things that you pray for and pray over. Amen. Hallelujah. So, man of God, that's what I want to deal with for just a couple of moments, because in this day, You know, first off, it seems like we have a very severe shortage of men.
Yes.
All by itself.
Right.
Now we have a bunch of people masquerading as men.
Yeah.
They just aren't men.
Right.
They've got no backbone. They've got no stand. They don't. That's. Pray for them.
Yes.
Even worse than that is we have a severe shortage of men of God. But I can tell you by faith, by the eye of faith, by the word of God, and what I am witnessing, we're seeing that change.
Yes.
Amen. Something is changing. Men of God are rising up right now.
Yes.
Men of God are finding their spiritual backbone.
Yes.
They're finding their spiritual footing. They're finding out what it is to be a man of God. Amen. And so this morning, I am talking to the men about this. Now, whether you are a dad, a husband, or if you're still a teenager and one day you're going to be, you know, you can start practicing and becoming a man of God right now.
Yes.
This isn't when you become 21. This isn't when you turn 18.
Right.
Figure it out now. Start walking it now. Amen. And may you be further along than we were.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 25 for time's sake. Verse 25, Ephesians 5, it says, husbands, love your wives. That's not a suggestion.
Right.
That's a commandment.
Come on.
And then he says, how to.
Yeah.
Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church.
Right.
Okay, so we're talking about a different type of love.
Yeah.
This isn't like the same type of love that you got for pepperoni pizza. I figured I'd hit one food that she wouldn't respond to, but forgetting, she's a pizza girl.
Yes.
So it isn't that same type of love.
No.
It isn't the same type of love that you have for some inanimate object.
Right.
It isn't the same type of love that even that you have for a friend.
Right.
It is the same type of love that Christ has for the church.
Yes.
Agape, or agapeo type of love.
Right.
Simply defined, a love without limits. A love without condition. Husbands, you're to love your wives this way. Now, this is not a marriage sermon per se, but you know, I think those of us who have been married for any length of time, we know this. You get married, there's a honeymoon period. You meet that girl, you marry that girl. Every time she presents herself, she looks a certain way. Perfect. Proper. Then you get married, and you wake up the next morning. And then you start wondering, Lord, what happened? She was a princess yesterday. Now she's a grizzly bear. What happened? What are these noises? What are these smells? That's not what I smelled yesterday. A love without condition. Now, we can have fun with some of that, obviously. And anybody who's been married, you know, all the courting, the dating, and then you get married and reality sets in.
Yeah.
So this love helps you to, all right, we got to navigate some things. We got to figure one another out.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, man of God, because we're talking to Christians. We're talking to Christian couples right now. Now you got to figure out, what's my role? What's my position? What's my authority? The right term is, what's my anointing in this relationship? You know, you've heard me say this. I've heard my pastor say, and I'm pretty sure he has said this here as well, that, you know, the term husband is not just a title.
Right.
There's an anointing that goes along with it. Father, there's an anointing that goes along with it. It's not just a title.
Right.
You know, we've heard different people have different ways to say it. Anybody can be a dad. But it takes a man to be a father. Well, the same thing is true even in the kingdom of God. Anybody can have kids. Anybody can go to church and have kids, but it takes a man of God to help do what the Bible says and instructs us to do, to raise your kids in the things of God, especially in this day. You know, for a long time, we've taken for granted, well, we're the Christian nation. It's just automatic. No, it's not. It's never been. So men, fathers, husbands, in Ephesians 5, 25, love your wives. So we've got to learn how to love the way Christ loved. which means you got to learn him. You got to know him. You got to walk with him. You got to understand how much he loved you so you can show that same type of love to your wife. Amen. Or your future wife, if you're believing for. Amen. So husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church. And there's an and there. It's not just loving. And he gave. Christ gave himself. He gave himself for it. Husbands, your anointing is not just to love that woman, but also to give your life for her. To be able to do the things that you're supposed to do. How you're supposed to live and carry yourself. Amen. So Christ gave himself for us, and of course we know that he came to this earth, he preached him, he preached the kingdom, he preached the salvation, and then he demonstrated it. He went to the cross for us. He died for us. He paid the price for us. No human could ever pay what he paid. He paid it for us because he loved us. And he loved us before we were even lovable. It says that he did this before we while we were still enemies of God. That he did it for us. Our name, our face was on his heart, in his mind as he's hanging on the cross. All of that he did, loving us no matter how bad we were before we even knew him. No matter what we were doing or who we were doing it with. He did it because he loved us so much. Amen. And it does. It takes the anointing of God, husbands, to help husband your wives. To help them find who they're supposed to be in Christ. To help them walk out their call in Christ. It's the anointing God has put on you to do this. And it starts with the love that you have for them, towards them, that you show them, that you demonstrate. It also, you lead. You give yourself for them. You make every opportunity possible for them to walk the things of God in their life. Amen? Now, obviously, we could turn this already, you can tell, we could turn this into a massive series. I just want to highlight a couple of things here this morning. Verse 26 says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word. Now, God has told us, he's commanding us to love our wives, and then he's demonstrating and telling us how we do this. We love as Christ loved. We give as Christ gave. And then, of course, it says in verse 26 now that we, dads, husbands, we're going to start with husband and wife, and then that filters down to our children. So men of God, man of God, it's your job to lead your wife. That you might, now you can't sanctify, only Christ does, but you got to lead her to it.
Yes.
Which means you got to bring her to church. You got to bring her to the Word of God. You got to demonstrate the Word of God in your life. You got to live this Word in your life so the Word of God can do what it's designed to do, but it happens by your leading. As you walk this, she'll follow you. Amen. That he might sanctify and cleanse it. That part of your assignment, men, husbands, is not just to love, not just to give, but to lead her.
Yes.
Lead her into the things of God. Lead her into the call of God. Not lead her away from God.
Right.
Not lead her away from the house of God.
Right.
Not lead her into your own opinion and your own thoughts, but lead her into a closer relationship with God. Which means if you're going to do this, it means you have to be doing this as well.
Right. Right.
Amen. Watch football, mow the lawn, do whatever. No. You lead them.
Yes.
You bring them.
Yeah.
You show them. You demonstrate this walk. You demonstrate this love of Christ that he has towards you, and now you demonstrate that to your wife and then down to your kids. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it by the washing of the water by the word. That he might present it to himself a glorious church. Now that's talking about Jesus, but again, this is in men, husbands, this is how you love. So if we're going to present, if Christ is going to present us one day to himself as a glorious church, husbands, don't you think it's your responsibility to present your wives in the house of God now?
Yeah, right.
That you come to church and you present your wife, Lord, we're here this morning.
Yeah.
I brought my wife. I brought my family. We're here to worship you.
Yes.
We're here to serve you. We're here to grow closer to you. We're here to hear your word.
Yes.
So we can find out how to walk and adjust our lives so we can be better at this with you.
Right.
Husbands, that's on you. Dads, that's on you. Fathers, that's on you. Don't put that on your wives.
That's right.
Now, thank God for strong women because they're not going to sit back.
Nope.
And shame on you, dad, husband, father, if you put that on her. that she's got to do this. We're commanded by God that we do this. We lead. We don't reign and rule over. We don't domineer over. We lead them. We lead them to the house of God. We lead them to the things of God. We lead them in the Word of God. Not just, well, I brought you to the pastor will clean you up and then we'll go home and we'll just do what we were doing.
Right.
No. You lead by example. Amen.
Amen.
So he presented to himself, or he's going to present to himself, a glorious church, not having spot, wrinkle, or any such thing. Husbands, that means you got to make some adjustments in the house to line up with this,
right,
to line up with the Word of God. You got to clean your house. Jesus went into the temple and, you know, he saw what was going on. He went out, he left the temple, he made a bullwhip, and then he went back in and he drove things out.
Yes.
He drove out the money changers. He drove out the extortioners. He drove out the commerce. And he said why he was doing it. He said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer.
Yes.
You've turned it into a den of thieves. And he cleaned house.
That's right.
But in cleaning house, it allowed the anointing to come back in. Because
yes,
once he cleaned out the house, dads, the anointing came back into the house and healing miracles began to take place. The lame walked, the blind saw, the deaf heard in the house of God once again, but he had to clean the house. Dads, that falls on you, that you've got to, okay, do inventory. What's going on in our house? Why are things off in our house? What's going on? And this isn't slam your fist down, I'm the king, it's my way or no way. The Bible says submit, woman. No, it says submit. They'll submit as you submit to him.
Yes.
Amen. And for some of you, good luck with that.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me know how that works out for you. So, that we're going to present, we, dads, husbands, fathers, we're going to present to Christ one day. Let's start it now.
Right. Yes.
We're going to present to him one day, but we do this every Sunday. We do this every midweek service, depending, you know, our church, we've got Tuesday and Thursday here, others do Wednesdays and whatever. But when we come to the house of God, we're presenting to God here in preparation for there. That we're presenting, God, we're here today.
Amen.
Clean us, fix us, deal with us. We're here because you're the answer.
Exactly.
I'm leading my family into your anointing, into your presence, that you can help me help them walk with you.
Amen.
Amen. It's not on the pastor. Just like it was never on my father-in-law for me to be the man of God that I'm supposed to be so I could be the husband to my wife, his daughter that I married. But coming to church, I learned from him how to be a man of God.
That's right.
Coming to church, I learned the Word of God and how to help my wife and navigate and lead her. My wife, you know my wife, she's a very strong woman. She can take charge, she can run, she can do all that. Just because she can do all that doesn't negate my responsibility to lead her as the man of God in this, did it for the church. You follow my example, men, husbands, fathers. You follow my example. Just what I did for the church, you do that for your families. That one day in heaven you will do this, but you start doing this now, presenting. And it's proper. You come to church, okay? This may be an exaggeration, but okay. You come to church one week. We lead our families to church one week. We're a mess. We're just a bunch of goofed up, messed up people. But next week when we come in, Lord, we were here last week. We're presenting ourselves. We're not the same as we were last week. We're growing. We're getting closer. We're getting things cleaned up, Lord. We're presenting ourselves. Those issues we had last week or those issues we had last month, Lord, we're here. We're not putting, you can't put on a show with God. Issues are fixed. Help us fix something else. Help us deal with something else. Help us to grow closer with you and in you so we can walk out our ministry as a family and walk out our ministries individually. Amen.
Amen.
Verse 28, so ought then to love their wives as their own bodies. So men, you know, some, I don't, you know, different cultures, different guys, you know, some are just like, they got to have the best of best. And okay, well, that's great for you. All right, praise God, but your family should come first.
Right.
And that's simply what it's saying. Okay, you love yourself. That's not an arrogance or a pride thing, but come on. There's something designed in the human being. Every human's got this, self-preservation.
Yeah.
You're going to take care of yourself. You're going to put yourself in the best position, the best way, the best means. So guys, husbands, fathers, your family comes before you. And if you would take care of yourself in those terms per se, but husbands, you need to cut the umbilical cord.
Yes.
Grandsons, you need to cut the umbilical cord. Nephews, you need to cut the umbilical cords. You can't lead your family if you're still running back to mommy, Grammy, auntie. You got to walk this out with Christ in him alone.
Yes.
Because there'll be interference. There'll be aggravation. There'll be irritation in all of it. And it's unbiblical. So if it's unbiblical, if you keep doing that and running to mommy, Grammy, auntie, how do I handle my marriage? How do I do this? Now that, don't overread. Thank God that we have people we can glean from. But I'm talking about going to complain about, mouth off about, not do anything without running it by them first. That's what we're talking about. If you're doing that, it's called sin. And you wonder why your marriage is frustrated? You wonder why your kids are all goofed up, messed up? Mom and dad have their place after you get married, but it's changed.
Yes.
Grandma and grandpa, they have their place, but it's changed after you get married. Aunt and uncle, they have their place, but it's changed after you got married. Amen?
Amen.
Let's move on because I know I already ticked off somebody. Praise God. Hallelujah. Of course, that dad, that father, he's going, yes, amen. May that backbone grow. 32 says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wives, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. See, I've been doing this long enough that I've listened to guys. Pride shows up. I'm the head of this house. If you have to declare yourself as head, you're not head.
That's it.
If you got to slam your fist,
bye-bye.
You're not the head. You're a dictator.
That's right.
You're arrogant. A real man of God leads, doesn't demand. A real man of God leads by example.
Yes.
Not by you follow me or else. Now, obviously, this communication, we talk, you get that part of it. But I'm talking about some of these guys that I've listened to. We're leaving that church because it's my way or no way. I'm the head of the house. The Bible says that. You're not the head of anything. And you're using the word of God as a weapon against the very gift that God gave you. You think God's going to stand around and allow that because that's his daughter. Now, fathers understand this. You know, our sons, we raise, we do, we have a different relationship with. You mess with our daughters? We might be a little reserved, a little bit quiet when it comes to our sons. You mess with our daughters? I'll speak of myself. I will forget I'm a pastor. And I'll repent later on. You think God is any different when it comes to you, women? You're his daughters. He loves you. He brought you that Prince Charming. He expects and demands that that man honors you, respects you, takes care of you, loves you, not berates you, not belittles you, not insults you, not hurts you, but does everything that Christ did for the church. That's what he's put a demand on us. Amen?
Yes.
So, we need to figure out how to do this with God, guys. We got to be the man of God that he's called us to be. We got to have a relationship so close and tight with him that our family wants to follow us because they see God working in our lives. They see God demonstrating his anointing, his power in our lives. You know, I mentioned, you know, that, you know, coming to church, especially the day we live in of AI. When you're in here, you can't deny what God is doing here. On the other side of the screen, well, we got a lot of, well, I don't know if that's real now because AI is taking things to such a level. You can't hardly tell what's real and what's not anymore. But when you're here, you can tell.
Yes.
You can't fake it in here, right? Well, the same thing's true as in the life of a man of God. A man of God can't fake he's a man of God.
That's right.
When God's anointing is on them, everybody can see it.
Yes.
Your family can see it. There's peace in the home. There's strength in the home. There's anointing in the home. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, you got to get this in your spirits right now. Regardless of your wife or your wife-to-be, regardless of how strong she is in her own personality, take charge. There's nothing wrong with that. Or maybe she's just not that type of woman. Maybe she's just kind of that stay back, laid back. Maybe she's not that take charge. It doesn't matter which end it is. Every woman needs certain things. Number one, they need to know that they're going to be led by a righteous man of God.
Yes.
Into the things of God.
Right.
Not away from, but into.
Right.
They need to know that. And it's not just somebody saying, well, this is what I'm going to do. No, you do it.
Yes.
You demonstrate it. You have to demonstrate it first with your own walk with God. You've got to demonstrate it first with your own relationship with Him, your own time in the Word of God,
yes.
Not trying to prove your point, but trying to get your point lined up with His point.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Every woman wants to be led. God designed us that way. Again, that doesn't mean that your wife is a servant, a subject, and she's done. Oh, come on, you know my wife. She can run this ministry all by herself. She doesn't need me to do it. I'm grateful we get to do it together. So it's not the who can and can't. But when it's all said and done, she knows who's the pastor. She knows who's the head of our house. She knows who's the one who's running this ministry. Amen.
Amen.
I'm grateful that I have a strong wife. It makes my life so much easier. Most of the time. But she still wants to be led.
Absolutely.
Now, I can tell you at the beginning of our marriage, though we've never had issues, her and I, we've never had any type of fight or anything like that. But I can tell you at the beginning of our marriage, she was frustrated with me. Because I was still trying to navigate things and figure some things out, and I wasn't very much of a leader spiritually in our house. I love God, walked with God, went to church, but I wasn't that leader. But she started doing what I'm talking about right now. She began to pray for me.
Yes.
That I would find my footing. I would figure my part out, my assignment out. And so she was frustrated in the beginning of our marriage. Not because of us, but because I'm not leading her the way I'm supposed to. But then when I figured it out, it brought a peace, a greater peace to our house. Now, again, we've never had issue, but it brought a greater peace to our house. It brought a greater flow of the anointing into our house. Amen. It took things spiritually off of her that never should have been on her.
Right.
And it put them right where they're supposed to be, on my shoulders spiritually. Amen. So I'm not speaking about something I don't know about. We're a witness of it. We can testify of it. Amen. This is how this works. And when things get into the alignment that they're supposed to be,
yes.
It's amazing how much freer God can flow in our lives. And moving our lives. So women need to be, and they need to know that they're going to be led by a righteous man, a holy man of God, into the things of God, the ways of God, into the call that God has for them, into the ministries that God has for them, as a family, individually. And it doesn't mean just pulpit. Because the Bible says that we've all been called to the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody has a call from God. This may not be yours. But whatever it is in your life, it takes that man of God to lead. Amen?
Amen.
The second thing that they need to know is they need to know that they're going to be protected. Women, strong, and I'm just using the term because even the scripture says, you know, to honor and revere the woman as the weaker vessel. We're not talking weak like they're incapable. It's just God called it that.
Yes.
That's not weaker per se. That just means, okay, God says, I put this on you, not them. So don't you dare put this on them. So they need to know that they're protected. Well, sure, protected in the natural. You know, some of us guys, we're just, you know, we're a little bit louder, bolder than other guys. You know, so some of us, wrong probably, but we're almost kind of like, bring it. Come on, I'm bored, bring it. That's wrong. But they want to know that they're protected. In the natural.
Yeah.
But they also need that righteous, holy man of God to know that they're protected in the spiritual. They need to know that you're going to lead them in the protection of God. They need to know that you're going to lead them the way that God said to. He that dwells in the secret place
yes.
of the Most High
yes.
shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
Right.
And of course, Psalm 91 deals with everything about God's protection in our life. Though 1,000 on one side, 10,000 on another. Though devils and demons and all these other stuff that the angels will have charge over us. They need to know. They want to know. But they need to know that you, man of God, are going to lead them into protection of God.
Yes.
So how do you do that? You go to church. You read the word. You spend time, prayer, fasting, like the scriptures say. You run sin out of your house.
Yes.
You guard the relationships. You protect those things. That the enemy doesn't have a foothold. That the enemy can't have any entrance or access to your life. Amen?
Amen.
We come to church because you learn how it operates in the church. I'm not your husband. I'm not your father. We're not Catholic. Don't call me Father John. However, in the house of God, when the pastor demonstrates how we protect and guard certain things,
yes.
It's an example through the word of God, men, fathers, husbands, how you're supposed to do this in your home.
Yes.
We won't tolerate things here. Why? Because we're mean and we're controlling? No, we're protecting the anointing.
Yes.
We're making sure that Satan or no demon in hell could get a foothold in here.
Yes.
Through strife, jealousy, envy, slander, gossip. The major ways that he comes in, offense. Amen?
Amen?
So we come to church and we figure out, okay, when the pastor's doing this according to the word of God, man of God, you say, all right, I can do that at home. If this is how it works in the house of God, I can do this in my house.
Right.
This is how we guard these things. This is how we protect these things. All right, that's easy. I can do that. And then do it.
Amen.
Your wives want to know that they're going to be protected spiritually. And you do that by leading them into the things of God, into the ways of God, that you're going to make sure that when things do arise, what are you running to? You running to Facebook like most of society today? Or you're running to your prayer closet?
Good.
When an issue arises, are you going to throw your hands up in the air and throw a temper tantrum because, well, it didn't go the way that you thought? Or are you going to get on your knees and say, Lord, all right, how are we doing this?
Yeah.
Are you going to judge yourselves? Did I open up a door? Did I crack the window for Satan? Did I cause something and allow this to happen in my house? And if God says yes, then you fix it.
Yes.
If God says no, this is happening because you're doing things right. All right, let's dig in.
Yes.
We're not going to quit on God right now. We're going to figure out how to deal with this thing. We're going to take authority over this thing. Amen.
Amen.
Women want to know that they're going to be protected. Your wives want to know that they're going to be protected, guys. Amen. They want to know also they're going to be provided for. Again, this doesn't matter weak or strong. You know, we live in a different day. Most of our households today, you know, both husband, wife have a job. There's nothing wrong with that. In some cases, the wife might have a better job than you. There's nothing wrong with that either. You know, it's a little different. You know, depending on education, jobs, promotions, and whatever the case may be. That's not the issue. I mean, you need an anointing, and some guys need a special anointing to be able to handle that, but that's another deal. But still, they want to know that they're going to be provided for, because that should not be on their shoulders.
Amen.
They need to know that you're going to lead them into, okay, do we trust God?
Right.
Is God providing?
Right.
Is God going to help us? Which means you're going to lead them, husbands, fathers, dads, you're going to lead them to the house of God. You're going to lead them into honoring God with your first fruits, with your substance. That way God can do the things that he said he'll do according to those things. That we can have what we claim, our tithers' rights. Regardless if it's financial, physical, emotional. God has, see, we, man, limits tithes and offerings to money. God doesn't. That blessing that's coming, whatever that blessing needs to be, Lord, I'm believing it's coming. If it's financial for the bill, it's coming. If it's healing in my body, it's coming. If it's peace for my soul, it's coming. Amen. If it's peace in this relational issue, it's coming. Amen. Provision is coming.
Yes.
But they need to know that you're going to lead them in the provision of God. You're going to lead them in the ways of God that God can demonstrate and prove his word in your life. They need to know this. They need to see this. You don't put this on them. This is our authority. This is our responsibility. God gave it to us for a reason. So if we're going to be the men of God, we need to show our wives, our families, that we're going to provide for them. Physically, naturally, financially, spiritually, regardless of the economic flow in your house because of the different jobs and careers. That's not the point. But there's something about that woman, that wife of yours, she needs to know we're okay. God's got us. He's going to take care of us. Amen.
Amen.
Guys, if you're the one who freaks out every time a bill shows up, why do you think your wife is uptight all the time? Now, we don't spend foolishly. We take our finances to God. Lord, how should we buy this now? Should we wait on this? Or do you have something better for us? You lead them in those things. And again, some ladies, you know, when we first got married, my wife was better at the finances than I was. Just the way it was. I was raised, and you just spend until somebody comes knocking on the door. And if you hide the bills and credit cards, maybe they won't come knocking. That's how I was raised. Not right. She was better handling the finances at the beginning. And then, you know, I found, because she prayed for me. And I found how I'm supposed to be, how I'm supposed to lead, and now I handle all the finances. Well, we handle them together, but, you know, the bulk of the finances, I handle most of that. This is where the husband sacrifices and doesn't get what he wants so she can have what she wants. No, that's not how that works. It's not a who's better on the finances, but it's understanding that we're in agreement on this. It's understanding, all right, we're going to trust God in this. Because some ladies are much better with finances than guys are. There's nothing wrong with that, but you got to do it together.
Yes.
Amen. And because when this is all said and done, regardless of who's responsible for that, guys, you'll give an account to God for your family one day.
Right.
Not your wife. You will.
Yes.
So they want to know that they're going to be provided for. And they also, because in verse 33 that we just read, you know, that it's the wife's job responsibility, in a sense, to have reverence towards her husband. Well, that has to be shown first.
Yes.
Women want to know that they're going to be revered, cherished, respected, honored. They need to know that. That's not you just saying it.
Right.
That's you demonstrating it. For God so loved, he gave. It doesn't say, for God so thought about us and then waited for us to get right, and then he showed his love towards us. It says, no, for God so loved the world, he gave his son before we even knew we needed a Savior.
Right.
He gave his son before we even knew there was a God. He gave his son while we were still enemies of the cross. He gave his son while we were still at enmity with God because of the sinful behaviors in our life. He gave because he loved, not because we thought he loved us. He gave because he loved us first. Well, guys, your wife needs to see this. Not just hear it. She needs to see it. It needs to be shown. Just as Christ loved the church, you've got to love your wives. Amen?
Amen.
Now, there might, you know, different ladies in here, they might have, well, I also need this, I need this, and that's fine. There's no things of God. Two, that they're going to be protected. They're going to be provided for. They're going to be respected. Why is this so important? Because if we were to continue on in Ephesians chapter 6, it goes on to say, children, obey your parents in the Lord. It doesn't say children, obey your parents regardless of anything they're doing, how they're acting, what they're saying, how they live. No, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Some of us sitting in here, we have parents. You might have parents that you really can't show them honor because they really don't deserve honor. Because the way that they lived, they acted, they treated, how they treated you, how they raised, what they did. But you can still show them honor. You know how you show them honor? The Bible says, and I love his story, Joshua, the son of Nun. That's all you know about his parents. How did his life honor his parents? He walked with God. He honored God. We see nowhere that he went back and took care of mom, dad. We don't see anything. We don't know anything, his parents, good or bad, but all we can see is in his life, because he honored God, he walked with God, it brought honor back to his parents. In some cases, you may not be able to honor them naturally down here. Maybe they're gone. Maybe you don't know where they are. Maybe they were just those people that, like, you just can't be around them. But your walk with God will bring them honor. And may your walk with God deal with them if they're still here. You don't have to be the way your parents were. You don't have to act the way they acted. You can be set free and delivered from all of that if it was negative and bad. But it doesn't mean that you have to go back and, well, okay, the Bible says I need to honor you, so let me celebrate all the things that you did, the abuse and all that. No, that's not what it's saying. Your walk with God will bring honor. Amen. So children, obey your parents. Now, obviously, there is, when we raise our kids in the house of God, yes, they got to live this. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. There's a reason why you want to do this. God says it's the first commandment with promise. So if you're dishonorable as a son or daughter, first to God, you may not be able to honor them. But if you're walking with him, it will bring them honor. Because you're going to guard your mouth. You're going to guard your attitude. You're going to guard your actions. You may not be able to go fellowship and be with them, but you're not going to be mouthing off about them. You're going to be praying for them. Amen. Another message for another time, and we probably will hit that very shortly. Verse 3 says, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long on the earth. Verse 4, I reference this verse on, I believe, it was baby dedication. That ye fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but bringing them up in the nurture and admonishment of the Lord. You do realize, and I think most of you do, that the Bible, though we have chapter and verse, that's not how these letters were originally intended. That this passage right here that we're studying, chapter and verse, was connected to what we just read. Husbands, love your wives. Why? Husbands, when you love your wives, your children are going to treat your wife the same way you do. It'll start off privately. If you're disrespectful to your wife, your kids will be disrespectful to your wife, yep, to their mother. If you treat them and you revere them, you protect them, you take care of them, your children will show them that same level of honor. Now, they may not be able to do the protecting and the financial and all that stuff, but they're going to honor, they're going to revere, they're going to show mom that type of respect. They will treat your wife the same way you treat them. Later on in life, if you're raising boys, they will treat their future bride the same way you've treated your wife. If you've treated her like a second-rate citizen, they'll treat their wife like a second-rate citizen. If you've been dishonorable, they'll be dishonorable. But if on the other side, if you cherish them, you protect them, you guard them, you lead them, they'll do the same thing. Your daughters, if you've been disrespectful and you're abusive verbally and all that, they'll find a guy. It's amazing how it works. They'll find a guy just like you. And then you'll be ticked off. Why? How dare you treat my daughter? Well, how'd you treat your wife? You train them that this is what I look for. There's a spirit that gets on them that they find somebody like you. But if you treat that woman, your wife, their mother, with reverence and honor, and you protect, then they won't settle for some second-rate guy.
That's right.
They're gonna find a guy that's just like Dad. Dad took care of Mom. Dad honored Mom. Dad always made sure that things were taken care of around here. And that's what they're gonna look for, those same qualities. And that man one day that they're gonna marry, that you're gonna hand over your daughter to and say, now it's your turn. I've brought her this far, now it's yours. She's yours to walk her to the cross or walk her to heaven.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen?
See, man of God is not just going to church. Man of God is not just having a Bible or two in your house. It's how you walk. It's how you carry yourself. It's how you lead. Amen?
Amen.
There's reasons for it. It's not just so you and your wife have a great time. But your kids are watching. Like it or not, believe it or not, it gets in them.
Yes.
You know, we all say it. We, you know, guys, maybe you've been that, and your wife turns around and says it to you one day. You're acting just like your father. Now, sometimes that could be good, but other times, like, wait a minute, no, I'm not, no, what are you talking about? Well, where'd you learn that from?
Right?
Right? There's a reason why God has all of this. On Father's Day, because we, you know, dads, we want to be honored. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can't demand honor. You demonstrate it. You show it. You walk in it. And then the result is your wife, your kids, they'll want to honor you because they see you honoring God first, because that's always where it starts. And when we do this, it starts. We can change. We can change our family history. We can change our family lines. Now, thank God in my family, you know, I've got enough good examples to kind of overweigh the bad examples that I saw growing and going. But at the end of the day, it comes back to my walk with God. No matter how I was raised or what I experienced or what I saw or how I saw different things were treated and how, I still have to go to Him. So I can override, overwrite, rewrite, however you want to say it, all those things that I was trained and raised in. But I'm going to tell you right now, and I've already said it, it started with my walk with God.
Yes.
We got married because we loved each other. We're still married because we love each other. But just because we loved each other doesn't mean I was walking right. Doesn't mean I was leading the way I was supposed to. It took my pastor. It took coming to church. Ultimately pushing me and pointing me to my walk with God so I could be the man of God. And I'm still growing. Sonny's still growing. Mo on the other side of the stream is still growing. We never arrive. Until we see Him face to face, Jesus face to face, God's always dealing with us. God's always adjusting us. Amen?
Amen.
So guys, I'm going to throw one more thing. You've heard me say this before. We don't do everything right. And if you think you do, let's deal with that pride today. Because you're not completely right. Not one of us is. However, when we do blunder, when we do make a mistake, one of the greatest things we can demonstrate and show, you don't go back, you know, I'll just say it this way. When you do make a mistake, go back and repent. Take your family. I've done it with my girls. I've done it with my wife. Yeah, you know, I handled that wrong. I'm sorry. I know better than that. Or I didn't realize the way I came across. Let me fix that. That wasn't my intent, but I know what I did was wrong. And I'm sorry for what it caused. Repent. Not just, you know, get over it. Submit, woman. You might want to sleep with one eye open. In fact, you might want to sleep with one eye open. We went out for breakfast yesterday, and Justin was telling me, because on Thursday night we were doing our Bible study on how you study the Bible, how you approach the Bible. And he said, I read this verse the other day. He goes, I want to build a doctrine on it. I'm like, of course, he's being funny. You know, you can find some pretty weird things in the Bible. I'm not mentioning what he said, but I'm just telling you, it ended with somebody dying. I'm like, no, we can't do that. But if that guy had slept with one eye opened, his head wouldn't have been staked to the ground. That's all I have to say. And if any of you have ever read the Bible, you know that account. No, when you make a mistake, guys, you wonder why your kids never apologize? Go look in the mirror. You wonder why your kids never repent? Go look in the mirror. Did they learn that from you? Because you're so right all the time? I hope not. I can't tell you how many stories I have about different things, but when it says provoke your children not unto wrath, we preached on this, and I want to end with this. How about your excitement for the house of God?
Yes.
How about your excitement for the things of God?
Yes.
How about your actual walk with God?
Right.
See, if I was that pastor, I would stand up here now and start saying, well, your kid is doing, your kid is doing, your kid is doing, your kid is doing, and I know your kid learned it by you.
Yeah.
You know, when you sit there, I hope this isn't you, but you know, this happens in every church. When you sit there and complain about how busy you are in the church all the time, can't do it, I'm too tired, I'm doing too much, we're doing too much. Don't be shocked when your kid starts saying, well, I already went to church, I've gone to church enough this week. Don't be shocked when, you know, when you're giving them permission to skip church now for the sports, that later on in life, that God becomes second to everything else. Don't be shocked. You're training them. You're provoking them.
Yes.
That level of what we're going to do, the excitement we have for God. Now listen, your kids are going to make their own choices later on in life. Adam and Eve, come on, they had it perfect.
Yes.
Literally, it says they walked in paradise. God walked with them in the cool of the day. And they still did. Kids will make their choice later on in life, but don't provoke them. Don't show them it's okay to walk away from God.
That's right.
Don't be like that minister that I remembered who told his kids one day, when you turn 18, you don't have to go to church anymore. You know what happened when they turned 18? Actually, even before they turned 18, they stopped going to church. No. No, we serve God until we see him face to face, and then we get to be with him for all of eternity.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
If you can't handle church now, why do you want to go to heaven?
Exactly.
Please think about this. If you can't handle church right now, if you can't handle having a pastor right now, why on earth do you want to go to heaven? All of eternity is going to be a giant church service with Jesus Christ as his final authority, our pastor for all of eternity.
That's right.
If you don't like church now, why go to heaven? You're going to be miserable. Now, fathers, husbands, everything we do starts on how we treat our wives. Now, listen, if you're divorced, I pray for you. We don't judge you. We do pray that, you know, God brings peace and healing to you. But even still, in that setting, how you treat, how you speak about. You know, one of the things, my parents got divorced in the early 80s. And, of course, that was still when it was a weird deal. Not so much today anymore. But it was a weird deal. You know, we had the little, their parents are divorced. I remember those days. But I can tell you this about my dad. If we ever spoke ill of my mother, he was very quick to shut us down. Despite whatever happened with them, he never allowed us to speak bad about my mother. He never allowed us to mouth off or complain when we were with him. He had some faults, a lot of faults in his life, but looking back as a dad, I'm like, you know, I'm grateful.
Yes.
He never jumped on that. He never allowed whatever happened between them to transfer down to us. So, guys, if that's you, ask God to help you, because they will follow your lead.
That's right.
So whether you're divorced or not, or remarried or not, there's an anointing for it, and God will help you with it. But be that man of God he's called you to be.
Amen.
Lead them. Protect them. Show them. Demonstrate Christ's love, because you figured that out between you and him.
So
now you show that to them so they can find out who they're supposed to be and walk out what they're supposed to walk out. Can you say amen?
Amen?
Amen. Well, stand to your feet and lift your hands to heaven.
So good. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now for all the dads that are in the house.
Yes.
The dads that, you know, may not be here because, you know, whatever the deal is, or, you know, different ones that might be at home, you know, recovering and just going through. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for our dads.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you especially for those men of God, those who walked with you. I think about, you know, Kate's dad. He was a man of God. Everything that he did, you know, it increased my life as his son-in-law, but also as a member of the church. Lord, I'm so grateful that I had that example to see what a man looked like, a man of God, how he treated and took care of his family. Lord, I'm so grateful. Lord, I'm grateful for the elders that we have in this house that have demonstrated the same thing. Sonny, Mo, Dan. And then, of course, hearing the testimonies and the stories of Dan and Pam's dad, Ozzy, that they watched and they witnessed his walk with you. It creases our lives. It marks our lives. Lord, may we have that same testimony in the mouths of our children one day, that they saw our walk with you, that it wasn't a show. It wasn't a Sunday morning thing. It was an each and every day thing, that we actually walked with you. And may the love that we express and show, may it be a genuinely godly type of love that leads our families, brings protection to our families, brings provision to our families, because we're bringing our families to you. We're presenting our families before you in your house and each and every day in our lives. So, Father, I thank you for the anointing that is on our dads today. I speak a blessing over every one of the dads in here, the uncles, the grandfathers. May this anointing be stronger than ever before. May they walk closer with you than ever before. May they be strengthened in the very day that we live in to stand bolder, taller, louder for the things of God than ever before, to help navigate our kids, but lead our wives in the things of God and into the blessings of God. Lord, I thank you for this in Jesus' mighty name. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now give the Lord a good hand clap in here. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Well, we heard a testimony this morning about a sustained deliverance. We heard the testimony, and of course, now he's just showing off. Now he's just walking around all over the place without his crutches. So, you know, praise God for that. But lift your hands to heaven right now. If you're dealing with something in your body, you need some physical healing in your body right now or deliverance from something right now. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we've got these testimonies here this morning as a reminder that you are no respecter of persons right now. Body right now, whoever that is, we speak it over their bodies. We thank you their bodies are getting into alignment with your word and the stripes that you took upon their back. And Lord, we thank you that healing miracles are happening even right now. This is not just limited to our brother Bernie. Lord, this is for all of us. So Lord, we thank you right now. Healing is taking place. Father, we thank you for those that are believing to be delivered from things, whatever they may be, that's between them and you. Lord, we thank you right now that not only did you come to heal us, you came to deliver us. Yes. So these things that are binding and frustrating and irritating, Lord, we speak deliverance right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that those yokes are being destroyed. Yes. Those chains are being loosened right now and cast off, and deliverance is coming. Deliverance is happening even right now. Peace will be in their minds, their souls, and their bodies as a result of this. And Lord, we thank you for the testimonies that are coming forth in Jesus' name. Can everybody say amen?
Amen.
Now give the Lord another good hand clap. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you have mention of water baptism on there? You took care of that? All right. Give Parrish just a couple of moments with the announcements and then go in God. I love you. I call you blessed. Again, happy Father's Day to all the dads in here. May this be an awesome day for you. And listen, for those that your dads aren't here, in Jesus' name, today will be a good day that you can reflect and honor, but and you'll have peace at the same time. Because I do speak that, because I know that can be a rough deal for some. So in Jesus' name, peace for all those their dads aren't here, but they're with you. Lord, we thank you that we're going to see them again very soon in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for joining us at Higher Ground Ministries. We pray today's message encouraged your heart and helped you grow in your walk with the Lord. Want to worship with us in person? Our services are Sundays at 10 a.m. and Tuesdays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. Learn more at hgministries.org and be sure to share this message with someone who needs encouragement today. Until next time, keep your eyes on Jesus and keep climbing higher.